Okay, now let's go to Genesis 9, new topic. Genesis 9, 25 through 27. Then Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." So we want to discover, why did Noah say that? Did Noah put a curse on Canaan? Why is Canaan mentioned rather than Ham? And if you're not familiar with the story, you'll know why I'm asking that question in just a moment. If Noah did not put a curse on Canaan, what did Noah mean? Okay, I think the best thing that we can do, and it's what I did to figure this out, is just go by the context. Go back to verse 18. I mean, the context is not the only thing that I did, but that was the first thing. And then I wanted to look and see what some commentators had to say. Okay? When you read Genesis 9, the flood is over. And as you come down verses 8 through 17, God is making a promise to Noah not to destroy the world with a flood again. And that the rainbow in the sky is a sign of that covenant, that God will never break his promise. Then all of a sudden, Moses said this: "Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole earth was populated." Okay, why, when I read this, I thought, well, why did Moses all of a sudden right there say, in verse 18, "And Ham's the father of Canaan"? Ham had four sons. And the other two sons had sons also. So I thought, why did he do that? Well, let me ask you this. I mean, I've already kind of answered the question, but who wrote the book of Genesis again? Who? Moses, okay. When did he write it? Just give me the general time frame. Or even, you can even say the location. Pardon?
There's a lot of time passed right here, because there's no children to these sons that we're not told about them on the ark.
Right.
Now they've got grown sons.
Right. So when do you think Moses wrote Genesis? In when he was in Egypt? When he was in the land of Midian working for his father-in-law? In the wilderness. Very good. All right. So, and what was he doing out in the wilderness? Writing the book. God said, "I want you to go out to that wilderness and write a few books for me. They're going to be bestsellers." God wrote only one book, and man, what a mega seller it is. Why is he in the wilderness? What was it?
Because of sin.
Because of sin. Okay, can you just kind of work on that some more? What do you mean, because of sin? Because he sinned?
No.
And God sent him out into the wilderness, and for punishment he made him write the book of Genesis? So,
leading the Israelites.
He's leading the Israelites. What do you mean he's leading the Israelites? From where to where?
From Egypt to Jerusalem, supposed to
Canaan.
There you go. I knew someone would finally get that word out. Canaan. He's leading them from or out of Egypt to the land of Canaan. That's just, I mean, the last third of his life from 80 to 120 years of age, what is his job all about? What is his existence about? It's about getting Israel out of Egypt and taking them to the land of Canaan. And Ham was the father of Canaan. So somehow that little sentence at the end of verse 18 fits into the overall story. Okay? So do you see where I'm going with this? The land that would be their new home was populated by one of the descendants of Ham. Now, you probably know that when you get into chapter 10, chapters 10 and 11, Moses is going to say, okay, chapter 10, here's how Noah's descendants, his sons and their descendants, here's how they divided up and spread over the earth. And here's why they did, chapter 11. You know, the Tower of Babel. Okay, so there they are in, you know, Noah coming out of the ark somewhere over there in what we call Turkey now. And they travel from there. They go to the land of Shinar, which would be towards Babylon. Okay, for you, I'm doing it backwards. So towards Babylon. And they get there. They build this tower. God splits them up. And now they, you know, some head over towards India and China. Some go over into Europe. Some go into Africa. And so some go down into the area we call Palestine. And the ones who went down there were Canaan and his family. That's why it's called the land of Canaan. Okay? So, why, if the Canaanites are living in the land of Canaan, why is God taking Israel out of Egypt and bringing them over to Canaan? And you know from the rest of biblical history that he's going to use the Israelites to kick the Canaanites out of the land. Actually, he wants them to destroy them, to obliterate them. Well, why? Well, I mean, couldn't he have just let them... You know, I don't know what the Sinai Peninsula was like back then, but I look at it right now and I think, man, there's a huge tract of land. Why didn't he just bring them there? Or why didn't he take them over to Saudi Arabia? Or, you know, all kinds of other places. Why the land of Canaan? What was that? Okay. Okay. Okay, so... Yes. It was a rich land, I think more so than what it is now. It's been pretty much denuded. Okay, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. I think what happened to the land of Canaan is like the same thing that happened to Ireland. You know, in Ireland there's hardly a forest left. They call it the Emerald Island, but it's just because of all the farmland and everything else. It used to be heavily forested. And, you know, they buzzed it clean. And the same thing happened to the land of Palestine. You know, the Romans, they cut down huge amounts of forest when they were attacking Jerusalem in AD 70 to build their ramparts and everything. If I remember right, they cleared... Well, maybe I shouldn't say the exact number because I've forgotten now. When I did my study in preaching school on the destruction of Jerusalem, I researched about how much of the forest around Jerusalem they just cut down. And it's just, that's absolutely amazing. And of course, Israel, when they got into the land, God told them, you know, he wanted them to cut down certain parts so they could live there. But also the Canaanites would have done the same thing. Okay, so where was I going with all that? Why did they go to Canaan? And why were they removing the Canaanites? Were the Canaanites nice people?
No.
Were they holy people?
They're sinful people.
Sinful people. Dave?
Well,
Cain was only the father of them. Must be about 12 different types of Amorites, Hittites, Jebusites.
The people who, that's right, okay.
You get the feeling that they not only were cruel people, they weren't the sharpest blades in the drawer either.
Okay. So these were bad people, and we're going to see that here in a little bit. And God gave them time. He gave them time to repent, and eventually He just had to remove them from the land. The land itself, God said, was vomiting out the inhabitants. Isn't that a lovely picture? Okay, so now we come back to Genesis 9. So, it's important to understand that background, why Moses interjected that. Okay, verse 20. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. Now, I don't know if that means Noah never was a farmer before, like before the flood. You know, who knows what he did. But sometime after the flood, he either becomes a farmer again or for the first time. Verse 21, then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Then what we need to see is the contrasting ways that his son reacted to his nakedness. Okay, 22 through 24. And Ham, the father of Canaan, see how that's interjected again, saw the nakedness of his father and his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done to him. Then he said what we read earlier. Okay, so again, I think it's very important to note that again, Moses points out that Ham is the father of Canaan. There's something going on here. Because, like in verse 23, he mentions the other two sons, but does he say anything about their sons? Nothing. So why did Moses happen to reveal that Ham was the father of Canaan? You know, how does this fit into the narrative? Remember what we just saw in verse 18. So the focus of this part of the story of the Bible is the land of Canaan and the people who live there as Israel got ready to take the land. Because that's, I don't know at what point during the 40-year wilderness Moses wrote the book of Genesis. But if the Israelites down in Egypt did not understand why they were going to the land of Canaan, he's about ready to show them why. Yes.
Why? What did the younger son do that so bad?
Okay, that's why I think it's important to notice the contrasting ways that Ham and his two brothers responded to this. What did Ham do when he saw his father?
He went and told.
Right. So, what do you think he was doing? That's the impression I get, that he's making fun of Dad, and he's wanting his brothers to join in. Dave?
No.
That's the impression I get. He's...
Because how did Noah know?
Pardon?
Yeah, how did Noah know that it was him?
Well, I would say one of two ways. Either he just knew when he was drunk, he was... Yeah, it could be that he just remembered from when he was drunk, or... If he was so drunk that he didn't know what was going on, then his other two sons told him what happened or something. Maybe he wondered how he got covered.
If he just opened the tent, how did he... He didn't know he was naked until he did. How do we know the other two wouldn't have done the same thing? He just happened to tell them.
Because of how they responded. See, that's why I say it's important to see what Ham did and what Shem and Japheth did. They could have seen him. It wasn't so much that they saw him, but what they did with what they saw. I mean, for example, I thought to myself, Does this mean that one man can never see another man naked? Or that, you know, one person can never see another person naked? No, I don't think it deals with that. Because how do you perform circumcision, for example? You know, and other like situations. So it's, I think it's what Ham was doing. He was wanting to make fun of his dad. And he was wanting his brother, you know, it's kind of like, guys, man, come see this. See, you know, they, and how do they know Noah? They know him as a righteous, godly, holy man who has really, by his righteousness, saved the world. I mean, if Ham and his family had been wicked like the rest of the world, none of us would be here right now. You know, so maybe he just saw a weakness in his father and he wanted to exploit it or something. I don't know. Rick?
Well, I think the brothers didn't want, they were honoring their father.
Right.
It was dishonoring.
Yes. There you go. Ham dishonored his father and the other two honored him.
It's interesting to me that Noah isn't, nothing is said about what he did, I mean himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was drunk and so forth and was in a, you know, a position that, you know, this could have happened. But nothing is said about, because he's supposed to be such a righteous person.
Right, but see, the focus of the story is why Israel's going to Canaan. So I think we're just supposed to draw our own conclusions from the other part that's there. And certainly there's nothing wrong with Noah being naked in his tent. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with Ham coming in there. You know, why was he in there? Was he looking for his dad to make fun of him? Or did he just happen to be in there and saw something he shouldn't have seen and then exploited the situation? Or what? You know, it's hard to tell, of course, what exactly happened. I mean, you know, I may go into my parents' house and go into a room one time and see something I shouldn't see, but how do I react to it?
John,
yes?
Wasn't it wrong for Noah to get drunk, though?
Right, but that's not the focus of the story.
Okay.
It's just like, I could show you, we could look at tons of other biblical stories where, I mean, for example, the crucifixion of Christ. I can't think of in any of the four gospel accounts where the writers point out that the Romans and the Jews were sinning. And yet we know that they were sinning. But and that's because the focus of the story is not the sin of the Romans and the Jews, but the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So that's where our attention is. And whatever else happened, you know, are things that we just need to deal with. We should know already from our biblical experience whether the Romans and Jews did the right thing or not. Does that make sense? Yeah. See, if Moses, you know, takes the time to point out everything in the text, pretty soon he gets away from the from his narrative, and he's got a narrative, and there's a point being made. I mean, that's true with any story. Yeah, the book of Esther. The book of Esther never comes out and says that Haman, well, except for Esther herself, I guess, she did call him that wicked or evil Haman or something like that, but the narrator himself never says Haman was an ungodly man. And you know, and or Esther's husband, the king, when he signs into law the extermination or the genocide of a whole race of people without investigating to see who they were, the writer never says he shouldn't have done that. And that's because it's, again, you just, when you're telling a story, you have to focus on a certain line in the story. Otherwise, you'll get distracted and people will say, what was the point of the story? Go ahead.
Anyway, the reason I asked that question is when I talk to people that I work with or whoever, anybody out in the world, about drinking alcohol, and in my opinion it's wrong, they tell me, a lot of people have told me, well, Jesus drank wine, so why is it wrong to drink? But did Jesus drink fermented wine, or was it unfermented wine?
Mm-hmm. So you're wondering how this story plays in this, since it seems like there's no apparent...
Actually, I'm getting off on something else.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And see, I don't want to go there, because if I do, then I'm going to get away from my main story here.
Okay, maybe we can talk about it later.
Yeah, or we could, I can have it for another lesson. So, you know, it's just, you know, like me with a teacher here, I've got a certain thing that I think this text is dealing with, and I got to stay on track. You know, and that's dealing with the curse of Canaan that's mentioned there in verse 25. No, that's okay.
Well, see, he was cursed. Canaan was cursed by a guy with a hangover.
Okay, so why did Noah utter this curse? Or was he uttering a curse? Look at verse 25 very carefully. And do you see anything in any of your translations in italics? How does the NIV read, Glenda?
Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves will he be to his brother.
And you... The whole thing is italicized?
All by itself.
Oh, okay. So your translation, when it's quoting someone or a poetic type of thing, puts it in italics? Can I see that? Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not in italics. Do you know what I mean by italics? But there's a word in there in yours that's not in italics that should be. Does anybody have a word in verse 25 that's in italics?
B.
Cursed be Canaan. Does anyone know why it would be in italics? Pardon?
It was added by the writer to explain the point of where they were headed on that.
Okay, or by the translators. The translators are letting you know, or at least in some translations, that the Hebrew word for be actually doesn't appear there. So, they're trying to follow the story here, the translators, and they're seeing what Noah said in verses 26 to 27. And every major translation has cursed be Canaan. And even if you leave it as the word be, there's still some different ways of understanding that. We, and I'm including myself until I did this study, have a tendency to read that as Noah is putting a curse upon his grandson. But after my study now, I don't think that's what's going on. Okay, remember what we saw starting in verse 18. That Moses twice now, verse 18 and verse, was it 23 or something? No, 22. Mentions that Ham is the father of Canaan. Okay, so there's something about Canaan. And either his involvement in this affair... I know. Okay. What can I leave you with? Okay, in your minds, read it like this for the coming week and just contemplate this. Cursed is Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be. Cursed is Canaan. So instead of be, is. And in the second part, in the next line or two, servant of servants shall he be. And we will talk about that more next week. You know what? Also, okay, here, no, read this. You need to read this. Write this one down. Leviticus 18. Read the whole chapter. Leviticus 18.
18?
18, Leviticus chapter 18.